Welcome to the Vinyasa Chick podcast, just for today, where we talk about something for just today. My name is Haley Duggan, aka Vinyasa Chick, and I'm so grateful that you are listening today. We're going to start this podcast with a moment to reflect on something that you're grateful for right here, exactly where you are. We have so much to be grateful for, and usually we take this life for granted. And when we start to pay attention, we begin to realize how abundant our lives truly are, and our view, our vibe, and how we interact with the world around us starts to shift. So make shift happen. Pause the podcast and think about what you're grateful for right here and right now. So today I am grateful for part of my ride here. The sun was kind of coming in through the leaves and through the branches, and it's a little bit of a windy road. You have to slow down a lot, and the whole act of slowing down and being able to enjoy that part of my car ride today, I was like, wow, this is really beautiful. And I think that we miss just the simple, beautiful things all the time. So I'm really grateful I had that beautiful moment. I was still in nature, but in the car. So that it's just right out there. We just have to pay attention. So the name of today's episode of the podcast is Following Your Joy. And so what I'm hoping to discuss today is the idea to stop looking for the shitstorm behind every corner and to give yourself permission to be fully present when things are joyful. So a lot of times when I talk to people about finding joy, they kind of roll their eyes at me like, what do you think, I'm 7? Find my joy. And I'm like, you're 37 and you have no joy. So I think that's a big effing problem, Sandy, or whatever her name is. So I think that, you know, we get to a certain age and it's like, oh, I don't have time for joy. I've got to like make money and pay the bills and all this stuff. And it's like, if you're not building in time for joy or opportunities for joy to pop up, what the hell are you doing? How are you, what's the whole point of what we're doing? Like, why be here and be in the struggle if there's not something that brings you joy? And I don't think that it's smart to just give yourself opportunities for joy when you go on vacation or when you're looking forwards towards the weekend. I don't think that that's a wise use of our time and of our life. And so I'm hoping with this first part that we kind of, you know, dial in on where are you finding joy in the everyday stuff, right? So noticing maybe when you feel a little bit lighter and a little bit more free because you put on so many layers of things that get in the way from I'm truly experiencing joy, right? So it's like this really small observation versus this tiny little like glitter speck of your day. And you're able to pick up on like, oh, this part of my day, this part of my task brings me so much joy, right? Like driving here, seeing the sun come in and stopping for a moment, being like, wow, this is fucking beautiful. Like I am filled with joy of being able to observe this moment in nature and time and seeing that. And so I think that, like I said, when I work with clients and they realize, they look at me in the face and they're like, yeah, I don't find joy every day. I guess I just do it on the weekend. Or I guess I just find that joy when I'm on vacation. I'm like, yep, that's the first thing that we're going to start to find here is where are you finding your joy? It's a small thing at first, and especially again, once you've got all those things kind of layers pushed down in the way, it's hard to really even notice something as being a joyful moment because you've put a label on it or you're moving so quickly that you miss that second. It's literally like a second of just, oh, this is amazing. And so, you know, when's the last time you did something just for fun? You know, I teach this class and we do a lot of jumping, and something I talk about in there is like, When's the last time you just jumped around because you wanted to? You were like 12 years old or 10 years old or whenever it's like still cool to jump around, I guess. Pre-puberty jumping. So I think our first step in following our joy is just like, WTF makes you joyful? What brings you joy in this lifetime and in the everyday stuff? And that's why I love starting this podcast with a gratitude list, because you can sneak that into like a joyful list. What's my joy today? What's something that's bringing me just this tiny little sparkle, little glimmer of something beyond just the normal stuff, right? The kind of the mundane activities that we're doing, the punching the time clock, the making the bills. So our first step is to notice when you are in joy and notice who you're with, what you're doing, maybe even the time of day. Like, I'm so joyful at like 3:30 because, you know, I've had lunch, so my belly is full, and then I take the long walk, you know, to go refill my water bottle. Whatever it is, the thing that you do, I love that I get to see Sarah in the hallway and I get to ask her about her grandkids, and that brings me joy because I get to see joy in somebody else, you know, finding those moments that bring you joy. And so sharing about finding sympathetic joy with others also on a day when you can't find your own joy can bring some to yourself. So in yoga, we call them the Brahmaviharas, or the four motions of the heart, or the heavenly abodes. And one of those is our mudita, or our sympathetic joy. And one of my favorite ways that I've been that mudita has been explained to me is that someone else's joy and happiness is no separate from your own. So if I see somebody, like I said, if you're having this conversation with somebody and their face lights up because what they're doing brings them so much joy, instead of saying, well, I wish I had something that would make me light up like that and bring me joy, you can share that sympathetic joy with that person in that moment and be just as happy right there with them without putting them down, making them feel guilty about being joyful. Just like you see someone's spirit like jumping up and down, super excited. And instead of like, why am I not jumping? Just jump next to them, right? The sympathetic experience of joy. And one of the things that we talk to our students about in the studio is, you know, sometimes you come in there and you can do something really crazy and it's really great. And the next day you walk in there and it's like, you've never done yoga before. You're like the Tin Man and you're like, I don't even know my ass from my elbow. What's happening? And so it's those moments of like the day when you're the Tin Man and you see the person next to you does something just totally beautiful, instead of that moment of, oh, well, I can't do that today. And I just really wish that I could, just be like, oh my God, that was amazing, beautiful, great job, you know, and sharing that moment of joy with them instead of poking holes in it, or, well, it must be because they got enough sleep and were able to do whatever. You don't know any of their shit. Like, just be happy for them and be excited because they're excited. And it sounds easy, but sometimes it's not. You know, you've got the shitstorm around the corner and somebody else that appears from the outside because you don't know anything about what's going on the inside, that they're having this joyful experience. You don't really know if that's what's happening for them. And, you know, it kind of goes into, we set up parameters for when it is like okay to have a joyful experience versus not having one, or even a time limit on joy. Like, okay, I can't be this happy for this long because eventually shit's gonna go down. Well, yeah, it is, because that's life. It comes and it ebbs and flows. And, you know, setting up a time limit or a circumstance or a prerequisite for joy, I think, is a huge part of something that keeps us out of that, and we're even unable to find it. We put up like I said, a prerequisite for joy instead of just a joyful experience or a joyful interaction or a joyful observation. So we set a time limit on our joy. And the next piece of this is, at times, we tend to, once we're in a joyful moment, we like to avoid anything that we feel like that could take us out of this joyful moment. Well, I'm not going to tell so-and-so because I know that they're not going to be joyful for me. Yes, maybe that's an okay strategy, but if you're excited about it, you should be able to want to talk about it. And just because you're avoiding something to keep you in joy kind of is almost doing the opposite of searching for joy, like hoarding your joy and just like, this is my precious, you know, like a Gollum Smeagol situation with the joy. And so avoiding things to stay in our joy, one of our kleshas or the afflictions in yoga, we talk about them, is devesha, and that is avoidance. So it's being non-inclusive of your experience because there is a probability that it might not be pleasant. So I'm trying to think of an example off the top of my head that is approachable. Simple way to do it. I know if I go home this certain way, I may run into somebody that I'm not really a fan of. And if I go this other way to go home, it's 20 minutes longer. There might be some days that you're like, you know what, screw her or screw him. I'm not doing it. I'm going the extra 20 minutes just to avoid it. But is that really like a sustainable practice for your life? Is that a good use of your time? Probably not. And so that would be a really good example of that devesha, like choosing to just not going to do it. And that's just going to be it. And I'm just going to stay in my joy because then I don't have to deal with whatever it is. So I think that goes back to our attachments to either pleasant or non-pleasant situations. And our inability to fully enjoy something comes from our attachment to the really good stuff. Well, I don't want to get too happy with this thing because what if it goes away? Yeah, it's definitely gonna, you know, eventually everything goes away. Like holding on to that moment and hoarding that happiness and that joy is also brings more pain and attachments. And on the other side of that are deeply systemic, conditioned, ingrained sense to avoid unpleasant things, I think also keeps us from our joy. I don't want to do that thing because maybe something bad will happen. What if something bad doesn't happen? What if there's a joyful interaction with somebody that usually is challenging? If you're just going to keep avoiding that person and avoiding that situation, you're never going to know. So I think our first step into following our joy is to identify where it is that you are being joyful. And when you're unable to find those days, being able to be sympathetically joyful with somebody else. We can't always be the source. You gotta, you know, search outside. And avoiding setting a time limit on your joy or your prerequisites for your joy is also going to help you to stay in that place. And that goes along with the same lines of, we can't just avoid everything and hoard the joy, right? It's got plenty to go around. So to end today, our mantra, just for today, I'll notice when I am joyful. Just for today, I will join in someone's joy without altering their experience or my own. And just for today, I will follow my joy. So that's all I have to share for today. Thank you so much for listening, and namaste.